back, everyone. We are Little Brown Women, and this is our podcast, Unplugged. Every fortnight, we talk candidly with our wondrous guests and with each other about a range of important and topical issues, often from the lens of identity, culture, and empowerment. In today's episode, Roxy, Kay, and I take a step back and reflect on our learnings from 2020, what we have struggled with, and practices we have adopted to change our vibration, mindset, and move forward positively into 2021. This year has been a whirlwind, a series of ups and downs, and a massive learning curve for many of us. We hope you relate to our own experiences and leave the episode feeling empowered and supported. So without further ado, let's get talking. Hey guys, how are you guys doing? Well, this morning has been such a mare. I guess with this episode, I think we're going to be reflecting a little bit on our past year. So guys, I guess this year has kind of hit us like a double-decker bus, to be honest, and it's been unexpected, unprecedented times, and it's kind of forced us to feel things and go through that we've never really experienced before. I think it's fair to say, and some of our listeners would feel, that it's considered to be quite lonely for some. I think 2020, it's got the ring to it. A lot of us had big hopes, dreams for this year. It's just been one of those times where we just haven't been able to get round to it. So I guess some of the things that I've personally struggled with this year is basically dealing with that. I think dealing with the loneliness and the uncertainty of 2020, the struggles that it had brought, and it forced me to step outside of my comfort zone, which was unpleasant in some circumstances, and it forced me to address some of my insecurities full frontal, you know. So Kay, what things have you personally struggled with this year?
I absolutely agree with you. I think this year has been a real reflective year for me, and I would say we've had very, very similar struggles. One of the things I really struggled with this year is having an aspect of job change, communicating, being within four walls with your partner consistently, and understanding the ways in which that you communicate, being positive, not just for yourself, but those around you. And for me, that this year, that's been quite a struggle, figuring out how to do that along with pouring into my own cup and being my own self-support system. I had to figure out a way in which I was going to support my husband. I was going to support my family. I was going to support, you know, those immediately around me, because we were all going through something that was so unfamiliar. We didn't really know how to deal with it. And yeah, I absolutely agree with you. It's pushed me to step out of my comfort zone this year. Incredibly, it's been one of those years where we have really realized where our strengths are, but also where our weaknesses are. And, you know, one of those also being my mental health, making sure that being indoors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, meant that you weren't exercising your intellectual ability. And on a daily basis, you do that just even on a commute. You're seeing what's around you. You know, you're having general conversations with people about their lives, realizing that everybody is, you know, somewhat going through the same thing. But I feel this year being locked in four doors, having majority of this year in lockdown, has made people realize that without that social interaction, without day-to-day life activities, we kind of were a bit lost. And then having, you know, things like job security, and for those people who are coming into the market, having a struggle finding their first real sort of career path. You know, this year especially has been quite a significant growth year for so many of us, that it's been a real downer to see that it's actually put us a step back. And that's also had a huge effect on many people's mental health. I mean, you know, I was expecting to be in a much different position, but here we are. So for me, yeah, it's been a combination of things this year, but definitely a reflective year. What about you, Roxy? How do you feel? What have you struggled with this year? What do you think you would change?
I think I would agree with you both in that I probably felt quite similar to how you felt too. And I guess it's weird, isn't it? The struggle is both a good and bad thing. If anything, the struggle was the reason why we even started Little Brown Women. And that's probably been the most consistent light throughout this year. And it's weird to think that we're now at the end of this year. It's just been just like a crazy sort of, you know, 9 months. But yeah, I think just going off of what you said, Kay, the biggest thing I've struggled with this year is things not really going my way. And I guess they're not small things either. They're really big things that, you know, I've worked probably a decade towards. And 2020 was always meant to be the pivotal year. And in fact, it's ended up being quite the opposite. It's just ended up being a year where I've felt the furthest away from myself. I felt so out of alignment with what I was trying to achieve. But I guess it felt a lot worse probably in the middle of this year. And now in November, looking back, I also have seen the things I've learned. You know, things don't always go your way. And yes, it really hurts and it's really upsetting when they're really big things. So for example, you know, I was meant to get married in September and I was meant to sort of move into my new place, and the new place has ended up being just a money pit with lots of renovations. And again, I think it's one of those things, if you take it separately and you put it into context, these are just things that everyone goes through and it's just part of the journey. I think we can all agree when everything happens at once, it just feels so intense. And because they're new experiences, you almost don't know how to approach it because you're trying to also live your daily life, again, in very odd and unprecedented circumstances anyway. It's not even like we're just going to work normally and just living normally. It's been chaotic, really. And I think, yeah, as you both said, that sort of then has a domino effect on your mental health and how you deal with things. And I'm quite an emotional person anyway, but I think this year has been trying on my resilience and, you know, the way I deal with my emotions. But also reflecting, it's been a good thing because it's built my resilience. And, you know, they always say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think going through this year, that really has, it's been true in a way, I guess, because I'm still here and I'm fine. Things aren't perfect by any means, but, you know, it's just looking at it a different way. But it has been a struggle. It hasn't been easy. And I think, you know, there are times, you know, you sitting on Zoom or you're sitting on whatever video call and you're at work and you're sitting there and you've just got this glazed face on, this smile plastered on your face. And the reality is behind that smile, you're just like a crippled person inside. Like your emotions have just taken over and you feel so helpless, but you have to use any remaining energy to just pretend you're okay. And it's pretending, and that's the struggle. I think all three of us are naturally quite joyful people. And I think together we've been our support system, but we've seen each other really, really break down this year in really horrible ways. And, you know, you kind of step back and you think, this isn't just my problem. How many people out there are sitting on Zoom, sitting on a video call, sitting on whatever, Skype, and going through this horrible turmoil of their own behind that plaster smile? And I think COVID has really brought to the forefront the struggles of everyone, because everyone is going through their own thing. And that doesn't, I mean, I'm not saying that to diminish anyone's personal journey or anyone's personal circumstance. If anything, I'm saying it more because whilst we all struggle, it's super important to know that you can reach out and that we can be there for each other. Because sometimes that just bolsters, you know, your strength in those situations. So I guess, yeah, like a combination of all of that. And then, you know, just other random things, which we've touched on in a few of our episodes. But something that I've struggled with this year is, against the backdrop of COVID and against the struggle, global struggle this year during the pandemic, seeing how alive racism is has just been really, it's been really difficult to deal with. And I think, you know, Black Lives Matter was a massive thing because, you know, I think all three of us have always advocated racism needs to end, basically. That's it, period. Racism needs to end because, you know, even us as women of color, we're not black, but we are brown. And, you know, we can really sit back and appreciate the struggles of our black friends, our black family members, and I think all of us have had an experience this year where we've had to watch some of our best friends go through this really awful struggle against everything else, feeling that isolation, feeling the emotions of thousands of years. And it's not like this issue hasn't existed. It's just COVID has actually brought an existing issue right to the forefront of our minds, and it's been confronted head on, and it's been painful at times because there are a lot of people that won't agree that racism exists, but we know it does. And so I think, you know, that's just kind of been this weird undercurrent of this year, and it's been a struggle because it's just there. People might not be talking about it all the time, but it is there. So yeah, I think we've all dealt with quite similar things, but there have been a lot of struggles. So I guess, you know, moving on, maybe like putting a positive spin on it, because like I said, out of struggles, you know, you then sit back and reflect a few months later, and then you get the gift of retrospect and you think, actually, what was the silver lining from this, or what did I take away from it? So I guess the second question for all of us would be, what lessons have we learned this year? I think for me, just moving on from what I said, I felt very far away from myself this year, and I went against a lot of the things that I usually practice and I usually preach. Self-love, and again, love of self, really, not even just self, love of self, you know, being self-empowered, being the person that lifts yourself up, because you can't rely on other people to do that. At the end of the day, you're going to be your biggest cheerleader, and you're going to be the one with the biggest self-interest. And so when you let that slip, all of a sudden, it's like a horrible vicious circle, because you've let it slip and then nothing is manifesting because your vibrational level is just so off, and it's not really, you're not in a space of allowing anything to come to you. And that really much sums up my year. We spoke about struggles at the beginning. If anything, I think it was more contrast than struggles, because we're all still here and we're all still alive. But I think, as you've both said, when you go through those things, you really, really appreciate what you have. And that's not to diminish the struggle, and it's not to diminish the fact that you might not have something you worked hard for. But often I think failure is just a redirection, or not having something is just, you know, you going on a different path to maybe getting the same thing or something better suited to you. And I do genuinely believe that is what is going to happen for a lot of us. So now that I have that gift of retrospect and I've just sort of changed my mindset, I've now realized that sort of the lessons I've learned is, again, love of self, empowerment. It's the key to maintain, I guess, to just confront any difficult situation. But also in that, you've got that kind of theme of self-care. And I know that we've really placed an emphasis on all of these topics through our Instagram posts, because it's important. It's important to not only remind yourself, but to remind the people that you're around. Self-care is like a dog. It's not just for Christmas. It is a daily thing. And it's a daily ritual. It's a daily maintenance thing. And that is kind of the foundation for everything else. You know, you can't be resilient if you haven't prioritized yourself and you haven't set boundaries as well. It's kind of hand in hand. And I think the moment you step back and you commit to yourself and you choose not to sort of take on the chaos of the world or other people's chaos, but you stay very much in your lane, that's when good things start to happen, even in very awful circumstances. And that's the thing. I think it's really easy to sort of sit by the news and watch the news and consume all of the negativity, because yeah, the news is fact, but it's not really when you've got 700 media outlets telling you their version of the facts. Then it just becomes Chinese whispers. And so I think setting boundaries in terms of things like that, you know, what am I consuming mentally? What knowledge am I consuming? What information am I consuming? How am I using that? How am I thinking about it? How is that affecting, you know, my mindset? How is that affecting all of the things I've just said, i.e. my daily rituals, how much time I give to myself, how much I prioritize myself? If you're not thinking actively about that, if you're not thinking consciously about that, then, you know, you're kind of getting lost in the source, I guess. And that's not a great place to be, because when you're in the source, you can't see anything out the source. as my lovely fiance would say. I think there's a lot of lessons, and a lot of those lessons that I think we've all taken away are very much to do with ourselves as opposed to anything else, because it's not really the situation, is it? It's the way you control your emotions and your reactions to it, because we can't always control the situation. And I think all of us to a degree have some sort of control issue where we want to control what's going on. And I think everyone has that to an extent, but it's that thing of being able to just surrender to the situation and let it go, because we know we can't control that. We can't control a global pandemic. But we can control the way that we are responding to that, and responding to the change, and responding to what's going on in the world by how we react to it, what our emotions are. And, you know, I guess that also just links on to the fact that, you know, you can't always look at other people either. It's really about staying in your lane. I think social distancing, lockdown, etc., has really magnified the effect of social media, and it's very easy to sort of go on social media and think, oh God, my life is really crap. You know, my life is really awful. In fact, it might not be as awful as you're creating in your head, and constantly comparing. You know, comparison is the thief of joy. How can you compare yourself to someone? You're having two very different lived experiences. And it's just a thing of where you're having this daily ritual of self-care, self-love, and actually checking in. What are my thoughts? Am I consciously using words that are benefiting me, or am I consciously sabotaging myself? You know? So I think this year has been a whirlwind, but it's been a very good year to check in with ourselves and think about how we are caring for ourselves and what we are saying to ourselves and how we're moving about our lives for ourselves. Yeah, very much to do with ourselves. Dami, what have you sort of learned from this year?
I think following your theme of staying in your lane, like, that's what I want to start off first. I think I've understood the meaning of solitude. I think taking a step back from the chaos, from the news and media, and also, you know, the fact that I currently reside in Ireland at the moment, and just being so far away from friends and family, yeah, it's been a bit hard. It's been hard work, you know, and therefore it's actually forced me to explore love of self and empowerment. Like, I had no choice but to do that for myself this year. If I didn't do that, this year would have been very different for me. So I've discovered self-care this year, and I'm so happy that I've done that for myself now. What that kind of leads me to is, it's been the first time that I've actually gone to a therapist. It's been a positive experience. It's actually helped me to organize my thoughts, just kind of make sense of things. And, you know, the therapist that I am seeing, you know, he's tapping into my science background a little bit. So he kind of hands out articles that kind of explains the background of where my emotional experiences are coming from and why I'm having these kind of biophysical reactions to it, almost understanding and being self-aware of what's going on. And that's been huge for me this year, and that's what's, you know, leading to my building of resilience. I think they go hand in hand, in my opinion. And if I'm sensing a hard situation or noticing some bad vibes, I just need to call it out. I just need to address it rather than brushing it under the carpet and just tolerating it. You know, I'm just putting it over there, the corner of my brain. To be honest, I think that's what I've been doing like pretty much all my life, because I just wasn't brave enough to just step outside my comfort zone and just deal with the situation. This year's forced me to do that. And through that, it's made me realize how much actual strength I have, which is another level of empowerment. You know, and it's understanding how to put on my armor and acknowledge the bravery that I have to go into battle, that I can do this, I can stick up for myself, and I'm strong enough to do this on my own. But if I turn over my shoulder, my friends and family are just right beside me. They're there just in case I'm just going to fall off or just trip over a stone. They'll hold me whenever I need it, though. Being able to talk about hard issues, you know, the BLM movement, that's all this, you know, being able to stick up for yourself in the most soft and gentle way as possible, not in an invasive way, but in a respectful way. And that comes from bravery and self-empowerment. And, you know, that thing about, you know, if I look over my shoulder, my friends and family are just behind me, so I'm not alone. I actually have so many good people in my life. And I need to celebrate that. It's exactly what you said, Roxy. I need to celebrate that. It's okay to ask for help, because once I did that this year, like, my anxiety, my fears, it just kind of disappeared. It just vanished. And it's, for me, I'm going, like, I find it very hard to, like, verbalize what I'm going through. It's just, and that's why I'm going therapy at the moment. And it's just all this, you know, emotion, energy, like, running through me, and my brain and my heart can't really make sense of it. That's, again, all about the self-awareness and really understanding it through the practice of solitude. So through that, I know, you know, who my support system are, and it's important for me to know that. I guess, you know, that leads me to the final point. Being an only child, I tend to rely on my extended family and friends a lot. And I guess that kind of brought up an unexpected insecurity of mine, that if I'm asking my friends for help, they have no blood requirement to do so. It sounds foolish, sounds really naive, but it brought that up because I was afraid to ask for help, because it was like, but they have no requirement to do that, so they're not going to help me. Am I overstepping my boundary? No, that's not it. It's been a roller coaster of a year. I've learned a lot about myself, and I've understood, like, what my strength is.
That's it. And that's what most of us lack sometimes, is that because we can't, and we are such control freaks individually, when we can't control the process of life, we turn to other things to control. And then when we struggle to control them, it's, everything becomes chaotic.
It's true. It's true. And the thing is, it's not a reflection of you as a bad partner. I think this call is really good, and this recording is really good, because this is actually the talking therapy that we said LBW is going to be.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it's like that, it's that ability to say, you know what, I really realize this about myself. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for my family. It's not healthy, but it's good that I realized it. There's no point kind of making yourself feel bad about something, because if anything, what we always said is your power lies in your self-awareness. So if you are aware of something you're doing which is not healthy, that is far better than then addressing it and then making yourself feel bad. That makes no sense. That makes no sense to me. Because I'm like, why are we basically keeping what I did alive by making myself constantly feel bad about it? It makes no sense.
It's this false pretense of what bad habits and good habits are. Like, I feel like there is a bad media around what a good habit is and what a bad habit is. And like I just said, having that, you know, we are control freaks, and that's not something I see as a bad habit anymore. You know, previously I thought, oh my God, I'm so controlling, but not in a, you know, a psychopathic way. It's just, I'm just someone who craves security, who craves structure, who craves to know that tomorrow is going to be okay. That is me, and that is just the person I am, in order for me to feel peace. And that isn't a bad trait, that isn't a bad habit, and that's something individually we've come to realize, because we would have never had this conversation to say, oh my God, I'm so controlling, I'm having this anxiety that I'm losing control of my life, because previously we would have thought that that was a bad trait, that people would be like, oh my God, you know, how do you not have that in order? How do you not have that? How do you not have control of that feeling or that emotion? But that's, it's not wrong to feel like you need help. It's not wrong to need your friends. It's not, none of those are bad traits. I feel like bad traits, unless you are a thief, a murderer, or someone who is like genuinely mentally disturbed, then I don't think anything should be considered as a bad trait. We all individually have traits that we all understand and work along by. And if those people and that energy isn't for you, it needs to be okay to shed that. It needs to be okay to move on. It needs to be common culture to cut things off if they don't suit you, and not to tolerate it, because we are living in a world where we are taught, as women especially, to tolerate so much. And the question we need to start asking is, why am I tolerating this, and is this benefiting me? Because many of us women, and many men in some circumstances as well, put themselves in situations, you know, whether that be careers, whether that be, you know, you've been working at the same firm for the last 10 years, but you've been tolerating their absolute bullshit because you feel like you're not worth it to step out of that bubble and go and find your own path. And yes, it's going to be a struggle. And yes, it's going to be hard. And you know what? So there may be struggles that you will come across that you have never faced, but it's about facing that head on, learning from that, and becoming a stronger person. And like we are doing now, sitting down in this conversation, reflecting on it and knowing where we have grown. And if you are unable to sit down and know where you've grown and know where the changes need to be made, then you have a maturity issue more so than
you. Like, yeah. It's weird, as you get older you actually get more control of your life, but funnily enough, you don't as well.
Yeah.
It's like a weird, like, on the outside it looks you do, but on the inside you don't, and you're like, what is going on? Listen,
we're living in a huge comparison culture. I think with social media, as we have that third eye into everybody else's life, we automatically assume that everything needs to be picture perfect. And we're unfortunately that generation that grew in between internet and also in between, like, that old school love, that old school wooing, that old school, you know, life. We wanted the white picket fence. I still want the bloody white picket
fence.
Do
I.
Do you know what I mean? But the new generation don't understand that. They don't understand the white picket fence and the notebook and how many times we watched the notebook at 12 years old and cried our hearts out because we wanted someone to remember, you know, to remind us of love if we ever
the ideals were different, right? From what they are now, babe. Yeah.
Exactly. The ideals are different. And I think, you know, where we never saw the differences between the 1%, the 3%, the 2% of people in the world that achieve differently or that have life placed out for them differently.
Yeah.
When we're in this comparison culture, that hugely affects, and not just our mental health, it affects the way in which we love ourselves, because our noses are not perfect, our ears are not perfect, our bodies are not perfect, we don't have enough money, you know, we're unable to go to the store and buy a Gucci bag. But sit yourself down and prioritize what it is that you want in life. Is it, if it's a Gucci bag and Louboutin shoes, that's absolutely fine, but then don't be upset when you're unable to achieve other goals. You know, you can't achieve everything. We're human. We're human individual beings. And, you know, as every year comes, it's really important for you to sit down and reflect on the previous year and prioritize what growth you want to do in the coming year. What growth is necessary for you to take that next step in life, for you to be okay with yourself and for you to be comfortable in your skin. You know, whether that be motivations to buy a house, you know, whether that be motivations to buy a car, whether that be motivations to change your current job plan, another career. But you need to prioritize that. You need to realize what it is that you really want out of life. For me, you know, if I'm looking at a perspective of prioritization, for me, it's having workplace equality. It's working somewhere that you are respected as every other privileged person. And, you know, this will resonate with so many people, because when you go into an interview or when you go into to work for somewhere, you don't realize that people automatically view you differently. They automatically assume that you have a different background and you have a different heritage. And you know what? Don't get me wrong. I do like to listen to my Tamil music in the car, but that doesn't mean I'm going to walk into the canteen and eat rice and curry for lunch. And if I did, what is the issue? Like, why are you all standing around asking me what I'm eating? Like, do you not order Indian on the weekend? Like, why are you acting like I'm now a zoo? Like, what is that? Like, I don't want you sniffing my food. It's so true. It is, you know what? It is so true. And you, both of you, are laughing your asses off because you relate to it. How many times? And you know what? I've done this with a bloody burrito, right? And you know what? I'm not Mexican. I am Sri Lankan. And if you look at me, I'm bloody Sri Lankan. Like, you can see it. And I've taken a burrito into work that I've made myself, and I've had at least 10 people stand around me going, ooh, what is that? Ooh, that looks nice.
It's a burrito, love.
It's a burrito. Have you not had a burrito before? What, an Asian person eating a burrito is now, it must be something exotic. It's that preconception. Why do we have that preconception? I eat an all English breakfast on a Sunday too. I have a roast dinner on a Sunday too, if I want to, but I also have a biryani on a Sunday. again, reflecting on this year, that's what's made me realize what things I need to prioritize and where I want to stand. Is, you know, I want to be equal to every other privileged person. I don't want to be viewed as, oh, a brown person, something different, something new, something to add to our D&I. I want to love myself and to know what things I want to achieve. And for me, next year, that is, you know, hopefully a prosperous family. Hopefully the next stage is in our career growth, and the next stage is in our, you know, our property search, let's say. Everybody has a goal, whether that be the next year or the year after. Those are the things that are my priority. And Gucci bag and Louis Vuitton shoes are just not on that list. So I'm not going to be mad at it. So after a really heart-touching conversation, and with all of us with tears in our eyes, realizing sort of how far we've come this year. And again, I will keep saying it, I am so proud of us. And if I could clap, I really would, without affecting this audio. But I am so proud of us. I'm so proud of how far we've come, how we have learned to set boundaries, not just for ourselves, for our environment, for our own mental health, for our own self-care love, as well as prioritizing what we want to achieve and what we want as a reflection of ourselves in the coming years. So that begs the question, what are you going to take away from this year? And how are you going to implement that into the next year? You know, it's all good and well sitting back and reflecting on things and then saying, you know, this is what I want to prioritize and this is how I want to take it forward. But often we're faced with how we're going to implement that and how we're going to achieve that over the course of the next year. And for me, I'm a very structured person. I need things to be written down. I like to journal. I like to notebook. And so I like to take it in a very meticulous way. I like to set myself a reminder quarterly or, you know, whichever suits you, if that's every 6 months, and check in with yourself the same way you check in with everyone at work, the same way you check in with family every so often. You need to check in with yourself. And that's having a moment to sit down and reflect as to where you are in life and, you know, and if you're happy with that. And that's my first step in implementing my own self-care and self-love, and seeing if I'm really practicing what I'm preaching. Am I sitting through yoga, if you know, every morning? And if I'm not, let's switch it up. What can I do that's going to motivate me to be healthy? Because that's the prioritization for me in the next coming years. You know, I openly say I want to have a child. I want to start a family. So I need to physically prepare myself for that. So that's something that, you know, I need to prioritize. And it's something you need to reflect on. And you do need to be strict with yourself, in loving your partner and being in that healthy relationship and communicating. Those are the things that if you struggle with, write it down and check it in with yourself. If you're constantly having to be a positive person for you and those of you around you, take time to ensure that you're having a positive effect on yourself, whether that be reading, cooking. You know, I love to knit. I love to cook. I'm a very much like a 14th century maid. Like, I like all that stuff. You know, if I had the outfit, my husband probably loved me, but I would like to touch in with myself and make sure that I've touched those, and I'm practicing everything that I'm preaching now. And I'm sure both of you will agree. I can often not stick to things, but I will keep to it. And it's hard, guys. It's very easy coming to January and saying to yourself, year, new me, we're going to set up a diet plan. And this often sounds very repetitive because everybody's having these very common conversations, but we really need to stick to this. And this is the forefront of LBW, is, you know, empowering each other and empowering ourselves. And if we can't empower ourselves, then we're not empowering anybody else. What would you say you've taken away from this year, and how are you going to take it into next year and the following years to make sure that your growth is better and stronger than ever?
Okay, thank you so much for that. So I've definitely discovered self-care this year. Obviously, with the hardships that we've all been through this year, self-care was definitely important and integral as part of my healing and recovery. And it's practicing it. It's almost making it a habit. You know, I've started doing this morning routine. So I try to meditate at least 10 minutes a day. I do a bit of morning exercise. It could be just a quick core workout, you know, a few crunches, or if I'm too tired, you know, you get those sleepy, cold mornings, I just try and do a few deep stretches. It's just to get the blood flow running, really. And then finally, I just try and get a couple of pages read in a new book on my Kindle, or, you know, if I don't feel like reading, I'll listen to the blinks through this Blinkist app. So it kind of, you know, summarizes a book within succinct audio clips. So it kind of starts off my morning really well. And, you know, part of that is through all this self-care, it's about understanding how to stay fit and healthy, making sure you're eating good, nutritious food. I mean, you need to be fit and healthy to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. You can't do that by constantly being ill and tired. So, you know, installing a daily routine, trying to stay fit and healthy, of course, it's going to be a challenge because it's new, it's different, and it's going to take time to integrate that. And I need to learn to be patient with myself and not be so hard on myself, you know. With the self-care journey, I will also continue my self-awareness journey, and not to be afraid to deal with hard emotions. It's fine. It's part of the healing and recovery process, and it will pass. You know, learning to prioritize my needs, setting boundaries in order to allocate time for self-care, healing, and recovery. You know, although we've gone through a lot of hardships this year, I've achieved so much. I've learned so much about myself. You know, and that's also down to having you guys as my two best friends, and my housemate in Ireland. You guys are an integral part of my support system as well as my family. I've become so much closer with my family through this here. And yo, I'm really looking forward to Christmas, guys. I'm really looking forward to spending Christmas with you guys. But, you know, understanding who my support system are has been important, and I need to maintain that relationship with my support system going forward. Once these travel restrictions are lifted, you know, I'll be prioritizing them more in my life, because I know that brings me so much more joy. As well as knowing what causes you hurt and pain, I want to start understanding, identifying what makes me feel good, and make sure I repeat it, you know. I've started this really good Afro-Caribbean dance class, actually, and it's shout out to Vibes. But Corrine, my dance teacher, she's just been incredible, and she's made me realize my inner power, my inner warrior. You know, she just makes me feel confident, makes me feel so good. And it's the same thing like doing a face mask or doing exercise, yoga, whatever it is. If you know it makes you feel good, repeat it. It's not a once-off thing. Like we said, with self-care, you need to practice it. It's not a once-off thing. The more you practice self-care, the more valuable rewards that you'll get from it. That's where the true richness lies. So that leads me to you, Roxy. What are you going to do to implement from this month going forward into the new year, and how are you going to transform your struggles into growth?
I mean, I don't know if I can even continue the greatness that you've both just spilled onto this episode. I think, you know what, I agree with pretty much everything you guys have said, and I think it's like a recurrent theme of self-interest for us. I think that's probably the biggest thing that we've all taken away from this year. Knowing that you need to check in with yourself. Kay, you said that, and Dami, you've just touched on self-awareness. I've always said that your power lies in your self-awareness, because if you know something, you are powerful because you have that knowledge. If you're taking time out to reflect, then of course you're really just assisting that self-awareness journey, aren't you? Because you're really thinking back to what you've gone through, what you've learned over the past week, over the past month, whatever it may be. And, you know, I guess just on that, you then start to understand how you need to prioritize yourself. And that's definitely been something which I've struggled with, not even just this year, for a very long time. And this year it's been magnified, because I think this year was the year that people needed to prioritize themselves a lot more. And, you know, for me, it was just getting a grip on, you know, how active I was being, what food I was putting into my body, what knowledge I was putting into my body. You know, you guys know that I am such an avid reader. And this year, I probably read about 10 books, which is just not even the amount of books that I would want to usually consume within a year. And it's just been that thing where I haven't been focused. I haven't been in touch with myself enough to actually feel good to pick up a book and read. And so very much like you, Dami, Blinkist has been my savior. You know, it's just allowed me to have that access to knowledge, which I crave all the time. But it's, you know, it's about prioritizing yourself and understanding what you need. And those are the three things that I need, you know, the food, the movement, and really just filling my brain up with all this knowledge. That those are the things that make me feel good. And I wasn't doing a lot of that this year. And now reflecting back, see, I'm actually putting it into practice. Reflecting back, I've realized that those are the three things I need to prioritize next year. Because if I'm not prioritizing them, I'm putting myself, you know, I'm last in the pecking order. That's not really anything to do with self-interest at all. If anything, that's just self-sabotage. And, you know, like it's all really well and good knowing what you want and putting it out there. I mean, that's great. But unless you're in a space where you're allowing those things to manifest and actually happen for you, come to you, you might be waiting for a long time. And so in order to get to that sweet spot where you are in that receiving mode, you have to be doing the work behind the scenes too. So you've put it out there, but then you have to keep up that momentum and actually do the things that are going to put you in a state of joy and put you in a state of, yes, these things are going to come to me and it's great and I'm looking after myself. Because how the hell can you ask for something from a state of lack, from a state of, you know, just not feeling good? That's not really conducive to anything. So I guess that's the first thing, you know, all of that stuff is, I guess, under that umbrella of self-interest. And I think in line with that, something that you've both touched on, which I've become better at, is removing the stigma from some of our needs. And those needs might be asking friends for help, asking family for help, asking an external impartial person for help. Like Dami, I've been seeing my wonderful therapist who I've known for over a year now, and she's just brilliant. And it's not something that I do regularly, but here and there I'll check in. And she has been so great in just supporting my journey and giving me the tools again, or reminding me of the tools I have in my toolbox, which has become very dusty. I haven't really used it that much, but really familiarizing myself with my own power again to get to the place I want to be rather than the place I am. And, you know, in line with that, she's really helped me sort of refocus my energy and my attention, not on where I currently am, but actually exactly where I want to be. You know, we talk a lot about being in the present. Yes, it's all very well and good to enjoy your present, but if you're constantly taking the reality that you're being given by external world as that's just how it is, you're never actually going to get to the reality you're trying to create, because you're constantly believing that this is your be all and end all, and it's not. And I think this year has shown that. You know, us three, we're such good friends, we're so close, and we have made an opportunity for ourselves. And that just shows, we created our own reality in a way. And there is so much power in that. And so, yeah, you know, really kind of going out there, removing the stigma from things and asking for help when you need it, doing things that people are almost saying not to do. Like, for example, even with this podcast, you know, there were people that said, that might not work. Well, we didn't bother giving them any airtime. Because if you're constantly letting other people sort of control what you're doing, control where you're going, you're never really going to achieve anything, because you're constantly placing energy on what those people think as opposed to what you know you want. I think next year is going to be good. Yes, life isn't perfect, but life has to have contrast, because without it, there is no momentum, and we would never be able to sort of, I guess, understand what we want at different stages in our lives, because life is a process of evolution. And so if we're constantly positive and we're constantly happy with what we have right now, you're not really allowing yourself to grow either, are you? And there comes a time where you might get very complacent, and the contrast just kind of gives you, it's like universe giving you a little kick, I guess, but a good kick. And I think this year has been that for many of us, including me. It's been a massive year of contrast. This year has been everything I didn't think it would be. And you know what? Despite it being a massive struggle at times and really, really, I mean, really emotionally turbulent at times, and I know it's been like that for all three of us, I can look back at it and say, I'm still very grateful for it, because it has really brought to light a lot of things that are important to me and that I need to focus on. And it's made me grateful, you know, first and foremost, because so many people don't have what I have right now, and that is good friends, loving family, and love. I mean, love is really the thing here, isn't it? It's love and having that, and that love and security really gets you a long way, especially in difficult times. So yeah, going forward, it's really taking that gratitude, focusing my attention on the self-interest, and really putting myself first, because I don't think that's something, you know, especially women, Kay, I know that you said that, especially as women, we're not taught to put ourselves first, but you can't pour from an empty cup.
That's it for today, guys. We will be welcoming one more great guest this year before we turn in to enjoy the holidays. However, we have great things planned for 2021, so stay tuned in. And if you love what you hear, please follow us on Spotify and leave a rating and comment on iTunes. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter to keep up with all things LBW. And don't forget to like, follow, and leave a comment on our posts. We really appreciate your support. Until next time, take care, live big, and be kind to yourself.